Our scripture lesson today comes from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. Listen carefully, for this is God's word for us here today. An excellent woman who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will lack no gain. She does him good and does not delight in evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor, and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the products of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates." May God add a blessing to the reading of his word and grant us understanding today in our hearing. Let's pray together. Father, the next few moments we have the opportunity to look at how we can build our character to become more like you. Lord, help us to pay attention and listen to the Holy Spirit. We pray this in your name, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, I don't care if you're a man or a woman, no matter who is here this morning. I know we're honoring mothers, but I don't know if you ever feel like you have to be a superhero in your life to get everything accomplished that you're setting out to accomplish. Do I hear amen to that? Amen to that? You got so much going on in your life, and in order to accomplish everything, you have to either be superwoman or superman to get everything accomplished. And when I read this passage of scripture this morning, that's what I feel like. I feel like, wow, this woman is a superwoman, right? How does she accomplish all these things, right? I mean, it says that she is a good marketer, a good bargainer. She's buying fields, she's trading wool, she's spinning things and making garments for her household. She's able to provide food from faraway lands so her household is well fed. She's not only a good businesswoman, but she's such a great businesswoman that her husband's name is known at the city gates because of what she's doing. Is that a real high bar for us to aspire to attain to? Amen. That's a high bar. Strength and dignity, it says, are her clothing. And, you know, whenever people hear her name, they tremble because they know that she's on her way. I think we aspire in our lives to be as biblical as we can, to be close to Jesus Christ, to look like him in our lives. But sometimes we fall so far away from where he wants us to be that we feel like we are less than. But I think what we need to do is we need to focus on our character rather than our commitments. We got to admit to ourselves, and I don't know about you, but and I look at last week in my time, I had softball games for four straight nights. I had choir concerts this week in softball games. I have all these things going on. I'm thinking, I'm overcommitted. Can anybody raise their hand and say, I'm overcommitted in the things I'm trying to get accomplished? And yet, when you're overcommitted, when you're trying to do too many things, what happens is you can't focus on your character because you're always focusing on the next commitment you got to be at. You ever feel that way? You can't have that time to be reflective, to look at your actions and how you're conducting yourself. So sometimes the way we conduct ourselves, we can definitely admit and confess to each other, is less than ideal. Amen? The way we say things, the way we talk, the way we act, sometimes does not reflect all of who God is calling us to be. So this is a moment for mothers and fathers alike to take a minute out and focus on character rather than commitment. So let's take a deep breath. Let the deep breath out. And we're going to look at some of the character-building things that the woman in Proverbs chapter 31 offers for you and for me. The first thing that I see that the woman in Proverbs 31 offers us is she spends time building trust in relationships. Now, this is a big deal. If you spend time building trust in relationships, what does that mean? Trust is the very foundation of every relationship that you have. I don't know if you know that or not, but the trust is the very foundation. And trust is actually gained by open, honest communication between two people. That's how you gain trust. They can trust that you are who you say you are. They can trust that the words you speak to them are based in truth and not in some other thing that's floating out there in time and space. And the thing is that what you know what degrades our trust in relationships? When we start being evasive, when we start keeping secrets, when we tell less than the truth. And I'm going to tell you this. Even I know this is kind of like commonplace nowadays. I've heard it happen a ton of times where someone will want to get off the hook for an invitation to a party that they really don't want to go to. You ever been there before? And they'll make up another commitment that they have when they really don't have a commitment just to get off the hook from the invitation. I'm going to tell you something about that, and I'll give you another one. Or people will call into work, and instead of saying something that's truthful, they'll make up a long, extended white lie to cover their tracks, right? Well, let me tell you something about those kind of circumstances. If you have people around you that you're trying to build trust with and you're doing those sorts of things, it can lead their minds to begin to think, well, if they can so easily tell these little white lies to other people, what might they also be not telling the truth to me about? You see, we want to base our character in truth. We want to be people of truth. And I think that's important that people who are around you, they look at you and they say that I know that I can trust in the words that they speak because they're a person that doesn't speak things that aren't true. So this woman spends time building relationships of trust. Ephesians 4:15 says this, instead, speaking the truth in love will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Jesus Christ. Instead of saying, hey, I'm sick, nowadays it's commonplace to say, I need a mental health day because I'm sick. Now, that communicates a lot. It doesn't mean that your physical body is sick. It means what? I'm worn out, right? You don't have to have a huge story about it to come to a place of letting them understand where you're coming from. If you don't want to go somewhere, say, I just don't feel like going there. I've had a lot in my life right now. Simple, easy, very direct, truthful. The second thing that the Proverbs 31 woman does is she encourages us to do good to other people. I think we got to realize that doing good to other people is not a difficult thing to do. I think sometimes we think we got to provide food to kids in Africa to be able to do good for somebody. And that's just not the case. There are a lot of things that you can do good in that are right under your nose right now. They're the simple things that you can do good in. Like maybe you hold the door open for the person behind you. You ever been that person that gets the door flapped in their face? Anybody had that happen to them? Or maybe there's a person that's serving you, and you say, how are you doing today? Just take a stop out of it and say, how are you doing today? Recognize that they're a person that you see. Or maybe you see and you come in contact with people really regularly. Maybe, I don't know where you go or what places you actually go into, but maybe you say to them, I've never met you and I see you every day. What is your name? I'm Jim Moon or whatever. Or maybe instead of just saying thank you to somebody, you take their hand and you say, thank you so much. Isn't it a lot different? Does it communicate something a little bit more? It does. It communicates that you want to do good and show them that you truly do indeed care for them. I want you to do me a favor. Look around you right now and think about this. I want you to wake up tomorrow morning. I want you to think this first thought in your mind. I want you to try to commit to doing this to me, for me, and say, what good thing can I do for somebody today? First thing when you wake up, what good thing can I do? Not, oh my gosh, I got to brush my teeth. Oh my gosh, I got to comb my hair. Oh my gosh, I got to get dressed. Oh my gosh, I got these people waiting on me. I want you to get up. I want you to think, what good thing can I do for one person today? Have that be the first thought rather than all those frenzy commitments that I know that you're out there trying to make, right? Think about what good thing you can do. And I'll tell you, the good things will begin to pile up and you'll be able to do some things that maybe you didn't think about before. The third thing that the Proverbs 31 woman shows us to be, she works with her hands for the good of her household. That's an interesting thing. I know people that do not keep their households in good working order. You ever been around those sorts of people? And I think that it's very important for us to think about this, because I don't think I've ever talked about this in church ever till today, because the Proverbs 31 woman is forcing me to do so. The thing is, I believe it can be a benefit and show love to everyone in your household if you commit to doing a few good things every day that benefit everybody that's there. A few years ago, one of the things I began to commit to doing, because I don't know about you, I hate to come home, I've worked all day long, and I know it's not necessarily I'm physically tired. A lot of times I'm just mentally exhausted, right? I'm not really wanting to do much. So I figured if I get up in the morning about 20 minutes extra early, and I do 20 minutes of things in the morning, whatever that might be, whether it be sweep a floor, take out a trash, do a little dishes, do something around the house that benefits everybody who's there. And if everybody does that, guess what? At the end of the night, there's not that much left over, is there? There's only what in the night that comes. So I've kind of got the kids used to getting up, making their bed, doing the things they need to do, picking up after themselves, not leaving it for later. But it helps everybody to be in more of a restful state of peace if we're good stewards of the things that are in our household. I think it shows that we care about those things, right? That God has blessed us with them. We want to care for them, but we want our household to look nice. And we want the things that God has given us to be cared for nicely. I think it honors God. The fourth thing the godly woman in Proverbs 31 does is she serves the poor and the needy. If we're to take on the characteristics of God, we got to be able to take on the poor and the needy. And one of the things I do every Monday morning, and I know I might drive you crazy, because if you're ever on Facebook on Mondays, you'll see me posting things, and because I'm reading different religious articles, I probably read between 10 and 15 religious articles on Mondays. And they're all over a variety of issues. If I see one that I think can benefit people, I'll post it or whatever. If you think it doesn't benefit with you, then just keep on moving, right? But the reality is, one thing I saw, I look at the Barna Research Group. Barna Research Group does actually polling of religious trends in society, and it offers information about them. And one of the disturbing things I saw recently is that Christians, I think they're 74% more likely to look at someone impoverished and say that their choices got them there than the rest of the world. And therefore, it infers something else. It infers that since their choices got them there, then I don't have to do any responsible thing to help them get somewhere else. I want you to look at me for just a minute, because it's a very important thing. You may believe that to be true, but that's not a biblical opinion. I'm just going to let you know that's not a biblical opinion. You may believe it to be true, and that's okay, but you know what? Jesus looked around. He never said to any impoverished person, "You chose to be here." He didn't care what got them there. He thought that by the very act of offering somebody who's poor and needy grace that they did not deserve, that they'd come out of their circumstance and understand that God has a bigger plan for their lives than their choices have got them to. That's why you honor the poor and the needy. You know what? I know what you're thinking, because I'm there with you. I have offered grace upon grace upon grace to some people, and they still are there making bad choices. Can you say amen to that? I've done it. I'm there. But you know what? God offers us grace upon grace upon grace too. Here's the thing. You've heard God's a God of second chances, right? But you know God has got a second chances, a third chances, and a fourth chances. And without that, I wouldn't even be able to be here in front of you. Amen? So that's what we're doing. We're deciding to be like Jesus and serve the poor and the needy. What we're deciding is that we're going to be people of the fourth chances and the fifth chances and the sixth chances. Because we're going to mimic what God is already doing in the world. The last thing is my favorite of all of them, really. In Proverbs 31:26, it says, "She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue." I happen to love that. If we're going to lead godly lives, we're going to have to offer wisdom with the words that we speak, and we're going to need to teach others kindness by our words and our deeds. Now, how many things come out of your mouth that are less than wise? I'm going to let you just hold that for a minute. How many things come out of your mouth are less than wise? Hold on to that for a few minutes, right? Are there some things that are slipping past your mouth, your lips, that are less than wisdom, are based in less than truth? I know they are, because, I mean, I'm thinking about some of the things I've said. I'm like, why did I say that? I say things to my kids. I'm just saying it because I'm frustrated with them or whatever. I'm thinking, well, that wasn't really wise of me to do. You know that. You've been there. You're doing it right now, right? One of the most challenging things to teach a young person is to think before they speak. Can I say amen? And we know adults that are still in that mode, that they need to learn to think before they speak. I just ran into one. I intervened in the second altercation that I've ever intervened in the middle of a Kroger parking lot yesterday. And there was a guy on a motorcycle beating on the window of a woman in a car who's probably maybe, she looked like she's about 14, but she's probably 19 or 20. She cut him off in the whatever lane, almost turned into him, he almost died. And I'm assuming because of the fervor of the conversation that he really felt scared for his life, right? But I know that the next step of that fear is not what he's doing right now. Amen? So I kind of stepped in front of him and I said, you know what, this is going to end up with somebody calling the police and you're going to be on the wrong side of that conversation. You might want to just take a deep breath and drive on. And he did. But I'm saying all that to say, we say things, and he was saying more things that were not based in wisdom than I can offer up to you on Sunday morning. He was saying a lot of things that weren't based in wisdom. However, I can understand that sometimes we get in those places, but we want to have, if you're really aspiring to be who God wants you to be this morning, then you want to live lives that are aspiring to speak wisdom with your lips. But it's not only that. Here's another thing. This last piece is not just speaking wisdom, but offering kindness and teaching kindness by what's on your tongue. Oh my gosh, right? Are you teaching kindness with what is on your tongue? I don't really think, you know, my mom, when I was a kid, I know that she must have been going crazy because she looked to the Bible for answers. She was trying to find any answer she could, right? Because she had four kids and they were driving her insane. But she forced us to memorize Ephesians 4:29. And she not only forced us to memorize it by reciting it to us over and over and over again, but she put it up on our mirrors at our house. And when she came the last time to come here to be with my kids, guess what she offered them? Index cards with Ephesians 4:29 on them. That's pretty important when you think, what is Ephesians 4:29? It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building each other up, that it may benefit those who listen. Wow, right? Don't let any unwholesome. I mean, I could give you, if I had a quarter for every time I heard her say that first little part of the sentence, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, I could be a rich man. But this is important not just for kids, but for adults too, because I think sometimes the things that we say tear things down rather than build them up, right? You're supposed to allow the things that come out of your mouth to be based in truth, that it would build other people up and that it would benefit those who listen. And it's hard sometimes. Have you ever had to communicate a negative truth to somebody? Something that is something they're not going to want to hear, but you got to say it anyway? And I don't know about you, but I realize, and I'm just going to tell you, I've had to let some people go. I've had to fire several people. You know that, right? And when I do it, I have to wait on it for 24 to 48 hours. And I have to come up with some things that I can say that are going to help that conversation go well, because my initial response to those situations may be based in some other place, right? That is not going to be helpful for building relationships, right? The reality is, as we go through these conversations, even if we have to have those tough ones, even with your spouse or with your kids, it might take 24 hours for you to get the right mind so that the things that come out of your mouth will actually benefit those who are listening to you. Amen? You might have to change some wordings around to make it something that they can take in and actually process in their minds rather than coming at it in an angry, fistful attitude. One of the things I think that we've done is we've lost the art of kindness. And I think that sometimes I annoy my wife, and she will probably tell you that. The other day, there was a lady I've seen time and time again at the McDonald's drive-thru. I don't eat McDonald's except for a breakfast, maybe a breakfast sandwich, but I've seen her there 100 times, probably over the last 10 years. She's been there a long time. And I ask her, she looked like she's losing a lot of weight. And here I'm in the drive-thru, my wife's next to me. She said, you're going to really ask her that? Because I said, it looks like you've lost a lot of weight. Is everything okay right now with you? And she said, oh my gosh, my dad's been sick and I just can't eat. And all these different things came out in a drive-thru conversation, which you're supposed to take less than 2 minutes to put them in their bag and go, right? The reality is we've lost the art of kindness. And sometimes it takes just a little bit of kindness to go a long way. What would it look like if in our world right now, in our schools, in our workplaces, that we offered those little things of kindness to everyone that's there, and we taught them by the way we speak. I'm going to close with something, and I don't know if you, I'm going to be starting, and it probably is going to annoy some of you, and if it does, just act like it doesn't exist. I've started the last few weeks, and I don't know, I feel like I've been called to spend more time writing. And I wrote a couple blogs, one the week before, one last week. I already have the one for this week coming up, already written. And I feel like God is calling me to share some of the wisdom that I've gained over the years and some of the biblical understandings that I have and put them on paper. Interesting thing, last week's blog, I posted it, I don't know if you saw it, but 308 people visited our website just because I posted it. So it must be doing some good, right? Well, one of the things that I blogged about was actually Romans chapter 16, and it's a chapter that many of you all will skip right over if you're actually reading the Bible at all, because it's a chapter full of greetings and exhortations of people that you have no real reason to know or understand, names that you can't pronounce. So if you look at it at face value, you're going to be one of those people that says, and flip the page. But there's some very important things in there, and I'm not going to belabor the thing that I talked about on the blog. If you want to see, you can go to our website and see it. But I want to tell you something else, a second thing that's in that passage and end of Romans chapter 16 that's really important. In that passage, Paul says this. He says in Romans 16, 13, he says, "Give my greetings to Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine." Now, I don't know if you, I don't know about you, but you read that, you're like, okay, well, I don't know why that should be any value to me. It could be taken two ways. Either Paul had two distinct women in mind, the mother of Rufus and his own personal mother, or he could be saying, "I salute Rufus and his mother, who is like a mother to me." And in fact, that's what most biblical scholars agree that he's doing. He's actually saluting Rufus and his mother, who was like a mother to him. So it begs some questions of us. What did Rufus's mother do for Paul that his own mother couldn't have done it? It's quite likely that Paul's mother's already passed away by this time, and Rufus's mother has maybe taken him in during one of he. No, Paul was a sick guy. He was ill a lot, so maybe he took him in one of those situations and nursed him through it. I don't know what happened, but the interesting thing about who Rufus is, it talks about, you know, Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross of Christ the rest of the way to Golgotha. Well, Simon of Cyrene was married, and he had two kids, Alexander and Rufus. And it's quite likely that the Rufus that Paul's talking about is the son of Simon of Cyrene. And they got to be friends together, and his mother helped him in some of those situations that he was in. But it really doesn't matter. There's no difference, because we all have had biological mothers. Some of us, our mothers have been delights to us, and some of our mothers have been like some of the biblical people, like Jezebel or Herodias, the vindictive person that cut off Paul's head. We've had women in our lives like that, amen? But there are women today who actually are more than just biological mothers to us. They've been like mothers to us. They've prayed for us. They've held us up. And for all those women, we should be thankful. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we're thankful for the way that you provided women in our lives to help us become who we are. We name those women in our hearts to you today. We take just a minute of pause to give you thanks for each one of them. And now, God, as we finish up our time together, we offer ourselves to you and say, we want to be like not only the Proverbs 31 woman, but also the women that have helped and touched our lives. Help us to take on those characteristics, and help us to aspire to be just like them. We pray this in your name. Amen. Will you please